Fora TV, the world is thinking.
The interesting question is, why do we have markets in food at all? And markets in food are very odd. They're very new. The world's first completed market in food, global market in food, was the global market in wheat. And that was really only complete by 1880. They're very, very new things, these global markets. But it's important to understand how they came about and why, and the kind of rationale that accompanied them. And the interesting place to look here is India. Let's sort of go back in time to sort of feudal India, in India before the British arrived. And feudal India was rubbish for peasants, because peasants worked the land, the landlords took the surplus, and left the peasants with barely enough to survive on. The only silver lining being that in a rough year, when food was scarce, it was the landlord's obligation to feed the peasants. It was generally rubbish, but there was this moral economy that persisted, this idea that people wouldn't be allowed to go hungry. They wouldn't be allowed to actually get fat, but they certainly wouldn't be allowed to go hungry in lean times. So there were responsibilities that came with that. When the British came, they thought that this was pathetically backward, and that Indians shouldn't be wanting a hand out so much as a hand up. The language of compassionate conservatism today actually hails from these moments where the British were imposing markets in grain with this rhetoric of, well, it'll increase your productivity and it's much better to work for yourself than to rely on the handout of some landlord who's just a tosser. I think it's interesting because this process of imposing markets was, to some extent, deeply felt as a good thing by the British who were doing it. They felt that they were improving Indians, and they were certainly doing a favour for the British, because these markets worked very well for people who had cash. It worked for the British to be able to export, to be able to suck grain out of India and send it to England, where it was eaten by workers in the workshop of the world. It worked well for the British, but trouble with introducing markets in food is that if you don't have cash, you don't get to eat. And so what you had was a sort of situation where people were loading wheat onto the grain. In Bombay, they were loading wheat onto the ships that were then sailing off to England, and then they were dying on the docks because they couldn't afford to buy food. And there's no figure that really describes the imposition of markets more starkly than a figure from Mike Davis's excellent book, Late Victorian Holocausts. The figure he gives is this. In the 2,000 years before the British came to India, there was a famine once every 120 years. More than once a century there was a famine. But in the period after the British came to India, there was a famine once every 4 years. So from once every 120 to once every 4 years, because of the imposition of markets in food. It's certainly the case that what was true for India was true for the rest of the world. In this imposition of markets in grain, over 30 million people died throughout the 1800s. I mean, that's the equivalent of the global population today, of 180 million people dying today, just so they could learn the most brutal and vicious microeconomics lesson in history, which is that the only way to get food is to pay for it. Now, let's sort of move forward a bit. I don't want to dwell on India, but I think it's an important case. The importance of it was driven home to me when I was living in South Africa, because when I was growing up, my parents used to say to me, "Eat up! There are children starving in Africa. Eat your greens, for God's sake." Now, what do you think that parents in Africa tell their children? Seriously. Well, they say, "Eat up," because there are children starving in India. And they are more right. There are more children starving in India than they are in the entire continent of Africa. And India today is, to me, an example of what happens when markets go wild.